In ASP.NET, we usually control access to controllers using the authorize attribute. But what if we wanted to check authorization in code? Let's mash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to learn how to programmatically configure authentication and authorization. I guess just authorization, not just authentication.
Just the authorization part.
Okay.
We probably do need to do an episode at some point on kind of the bigger picture, authentication and authorization. But there's one little piece today that I wanted to talk about, and that's how we can programmatically, as you said, check for authorization. So what I've done here in my sample app is I've created a policy saying where we can authorize people to have level 5 clearance. I have this concept of a security clearance claim that has a level associated with it. So when we're saying
level 5 clearance, is level 5 like more clearance than level 1 or less clearance than level 1?
The way I implemented this, level 5 is more clearance than level 1.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that we have that settled. So this is like,
that's pretty important.
This is not like a DEF CON system. This is the other way around.
Sure.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. So what I've done is defined a policy saying that to meet that policy, we require that the user is first authenticated and that they have the security clearance level 5 claim. And what I've done is we'll just peek into the database here to see what our application has. And we have a couple different users. If I run this query, so there is I can't zoom on that. There's a David and a Simon. And if we look at the claims, they have kind of different levels of clearance. So one of them has level 5, one of them has level 4 clearance, which I just did by writing some SQL. So I just inserted those directly into the database. Now, normally, if let's say that for the home controller here, we wanted to limit access to those that had that policy, we would simply use the authorize attribute here and say level 5 clearance. And then only people who met that policy would have access to this controller, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I've done is I've defined a top secret controller here where we're going to do that differently. We're going to do it using an authorization service. I can tell Simon's excited to find out what happens when we get in here.
I'm super excited. Anything top secret, I am all over.
It's like a big red button that says do not push, right?
Yeah.
You got to see what happens. So in MVC Core, there's this service called authorization service, and you can just inject that into your controller or any other service where you want to use this. And that's why I wanted to show this, is that it's really handy because we can do authorization inside our services or anywhere where we wanted to authorize. It doesn't just have to be at the controller level now.
So it'd be interesting. So you could do that even in like random services that don't have anything to do really with the MVC framework.
Exactly, yeah. All you need is a claims user, so you have to have that user available. And then you can just inject that authorization service wherever you need it.
But we could inject the user too, right?
Yes.
Or at least a service around the user. Okay.
Yep. So what I've done here is in the index action method, I check for this level 5 clearance. I say authorization service.authorizeAsync. That's an async operation. You have to do the async await here. You pass in the user, and then there's a few different options here. So you can pass in an actual policy or the name of a policy, which is what I'm doing. And there's also something called resource authorization, which is something we'll talk about in a future episode, where you actually authorize that a user has access to a specific resource within your application. And it just returns a Boolean, a task of bool. So if it's true, we return the view. Otherwise, we return a challenge result. So let's just take a look at what that looks like when we run it now. So the challenge result thing is also a little bit different than how it used to work. So let's say that we're logging in as Simon. The password. And if I try to access this now, Simon only has level 4 clearance, so nope, sauce, you don't belong here. So Simon, sorry, you don't get to see this. But you'll see that what we were redirected to here is access denied. Now, the way authorization worked a lot of times before, it would kind of, sometimes it would send you back to a login page, which didn't really make sense because you were already logged in. It wasn't that you weren't authenticated, it was that you weren't authorized. So there's a clear separation there now.
That's good, because it didn't really make any sense.
No, it didn't. It caused me lots of problems on a few applications. And now if we log in as David, or was it Dave?
Not looking so smart with your top secret access now, eh?
Not at all. Have I forgotten my password? There we go.
Oh, it's disappointing.
Top secret area, and we're in. And look, it's James. Oh. He's singing karaoke.
Oh, I believe these videos are all available somewhere online. We'll probably link to those in the show notes because
I think we probably
James
should.
Isn't here. He can't stop us.
Exactly. So that's it. That's all I had. That's how easy it is. I mean, it's literally just you inject the service and then you call authorize async. That's all there is to it.
Great. Wow, that seems like it opens up a world of possibilities of authorizing in various places that you wouldn't normally think to authorize. Thanks, everyone, for joining us again here on the ASP.NET Monsters. Remember to like, comment, share, and send us an email with your comments and questions. Just like these folks. Great, so this is a comment that we had on a Twitter conversation. This is from Frowny Black and White Photo Guy, which is actually Brad Wilson. So Brad used to work for the ASP.NET team not that long ago. And he's also the brain behind XUnit. And I have no idea where he works now. Somewhere that is not Microsoft. Anyway. So he tells me that I screwed up in my description of the TCP process underlying time wait. So I think in the video I said that there were packets bouncing around after the connection had closed, which is apparently complete and utter nonsense. Never want to pull his punches at Red. So apparently time wait is the 2-minute timeout that's enforced by closing the end of the TCP socket because you can't guarantee the other side received your FIN-ACK message. So it was good of him to correct me on that, my TCP IP knowledge, obviously not up to snuff there. And then he mentioned that I should have talked about connection reuse and DNS caching. I can't remember if I talked about that here or in some other conversation on Twitter somewhere else, but I remember talking a little bit about this, is that if you do reuse your HTTP client the way that we have been advising to do it, you will end up in a situation where the DNS entry is cached. So if you're looking at a DNS entry that changes with any sort of rapidity, then you're going to end up with that information cached. So it's possible that you'll continue to do queries against an IP address which no longer belongs to the service that you think it belongs to. So you might want to have some consideration around refreshing that connection based on some expiry from DNS. So I don't know, you might want to recycle it every hour or every half hour or something like that. So that's a little thing to keep in mind. So thanks a lot to Brad, and I imagine we'll get him some stickers. Great, so thanks everybody for listening to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters, and we hope to see you again on the next episode.
Cheers.